Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, thank you. Lord, we're so thankful this morning that you have provided a mercy seat that we could run to. Lord, that you have healed us. You have set us free. And we thank you that you've cleansed us, and we magnify you, and we glorify you. Lord, we just thank you. And Lord, we lift up the tithes and offerings this morning. Lord, we pray for them, and we thank you that you said that if we would bring the tithes and offerings into your storehouse, that you'd open up the windows of heaven, and that you would pour out wholeness upon us. And Lord, we thank you for that, and we magnify you. And you said that the devourer is rebuked off of our lives. And we thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I know that, Ben, we prayed for Vanelli, but I want to pray for her again. Amen. Let's just extend our hands to her and just going to believe that those bones, those fractures will be healed. You know what's amazing? She said that she didn't hurt. There wasn't any pain. Is that right? Isn't that what you said? Praise God. Father, we thank you and we magnify you. Lord, we just thank you that these fractures will be healed supernaturally. Lord, quickly. And we thank you and we magnify you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 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 You believe that? Amen. Okay. For those that don't, this is a lady that went to church with all of us years and years ago, and she and Wanda were real, well, Maggie was special to everybody at Trinity. And, huh? Yeah. And, oh, not you. Just pray. Father, we thank you and we magnify you. Lord, we thank you. And Lord, we just come to you this morning. And Lord, we just lift up our sister Maggie. Lord, you be with her. Lord, you comfort her. Lord, and you just have your way. Have your way in her life. Lord, she has loved you. She served you. She cares for you. Lord, and we just ask that you just minister to her. touch her, Lord. Lord, just touch her and bring her into the place that you have for her. And we thank you and we magnify you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Pray for Ruth's healing on her. Amen. Amen. Lord, we just thank you and we magnify you. Lord, I just ask that you pour out your healing anointing on Ruth right now in the name of Jesus, that the hip will be completely healed. Lord, that she will just, that the first hip will just be totally well, totally completely healed. But the other hip, the one that the doctor says needs an operation, Lord, we just say that you touch it right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, that she doesn't have to go through that. And we thank you and we magnify you in Jesus' name. Lord, just let your healing anointing flow from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, Lord, and thank you. Thank you, Jesus, that you are putting that hip back in alignment and renewing. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. What? Okay, well, Nan has something to pass out to everybody, a bookmarker. Huh? What? Your shoulder hurts. Lord, we just thank you, and we speak healing, and we come against this pain in Junebug's shoulder. We speak healing to her right now in the name of Jesus. Jesus, you are her healer, and you bore the stripes on your back for her healing 2,000 years ago. And we thank you, and we magnify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. What's her name? Huh? Kamiga? Lord, we just thank you and we just speak healing to Kamiga right now in the name of Jesus. And we curse cancer. We just break its hold over her life right now in the name of Jesus. Jesus, you spoke words of healing to people. They were even long ways away and they were healed. And we speak words of healing to her right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you and we magnify you. Lord, we thank you that you are the healer and you are the miracle worker. And we thank you and we magnify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, Tuesday morning we have prayer here at 6:30 in the morning. And Tuesday night we have healing rooms and mission at 7 p.m. And Thursday evening at 6, we have Bible study, prayer, and then healing rooms. I want to give a personal thanks to Sandy and Juan for the new songs, the presentation. That took a lot of work. It'll be, amen. Well, praise God. I mean, this is, we moved into a new era. The big churches ain't got nothing on us. No, we didn't. Well, speak for yourself, Junebug. I started to stop, but I didn't. The last song, Mercy Seat, that was a song that at the Pensacola Revival, there was a young lady, I can't remember what her name was, do you? Anyway, she sang that when Steve Hill had the altar call, and of course, there's a lot of y'all that never heard, but I mean, he could give an altar call now. I mean, it was like you coming down to the, but anyway, she sang that song, Mercy Seat. I mean, it was really awesome. So, and of course, there was that one and two other songs that were from the Pensacola Revival. That, well, three, I guess, Send a Fire and the Enemy's Camp. And anyway, it was so. But that Mercy Seat song, I mean, when she sang it, it was good here, but when it was those that went had been there in person, it was very, very moving. And she was, I think, 16 or 17 years old when she started singing that song. I mean, she had the volume. And she could really, really sing. Amen. Praise God. Wanda, would you read 1 Peter chapter 1? Verse 23.
Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever.
You know, last week we were talking about soul, and but when we're born again, our spirit is changed instantly. We're born again. Our spirit is changed into the likeness of God. But our soul, our soul is our mind, will, and emotion, is not changed instantly. What happens to our spirit when we're saved or when we're born again, when we accept Jesus Christ, defines what we receive in our spirit. It also reveals the potential for our soul, our mind, will, and emotion. When we accept God's offer of eternal life through Jesus Christ, we are instantly reborn of God in our spirit. Spiritually, we receive the very life and nature of God Himself, just like it was before the fall, just like it was before Adam sinned. I want Wanda to read Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 1 through 5.
I, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will.
So in verse 5 it says that we're not just adopted into God's family, we're born into God's family. And the word translated adoption, the placing of a son, is not referring to a child being placed into a family, like adoption, like we adopt someone. But rather it's a child that's already in the family, but being placed into the authority of a fully mature son. That's what Paul is talking about here, that we're placed in that place of a mature son, that place of authority. It's about justification and rights. It's not just entering the family. We enter the family when we're born again. But here we're adopted as a mature person, mature son, with that all the authority that God has given to us. We have that authority to speak, to walk, and to do. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Praise God. When you accept Jesus Christ, you're a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. God restores our fallen spirit. Praise God. When we're born again, your spirit is instantly renewed. But it's a different story with the soul, with our mind, will, and emotion. Our soul doesn't get saved when our spirit did. That's the reason why it says work out your own salvation. Even though the state of our spirit mirrors Christ, it is our soul, our mind, will, and emotion that determines what you do and how you act. You ever wonder why we act like we do sometimes? Not everybody has those problems, do they? But your unsaved soul is the deciding factor on whether or not that Christ-likeness within you will be released out of your born-again spirit. Your body will basically obey whatever your soul decides. In James chapter 1, verse 21, it says, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness and humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your soul. The word is able to save your soul. Receive the word implanted, which is able to save your soul. It's now able to be saved. This is why even as a saved Christian, we can still be struggling with things. If our soul, our mind, will, and emotion were already completely saved, then whatever God birthed in your spirit would come directly out through your soul and your body. Our spirit doesn't struggle with faith. Our spirit says, I believe. And our soul says, prove it to me. Our mind, will, and emotion, till it's really renewed with the word of God, will say, prove it to me. That's the reason why we say, when we pray for healing, when we're standing on healing, is I stand for the truth. The truth is the word of God, not the facts. I stand on the truth. What is the truth? What God says. Amen? And if you have a stronghold in your soul before conversion, it can absolutely still exist after conversion. There's an exception to that rule, that if we've been taught in years ago and long, long time ago, in revivals and teachings, they said that, and I can't remember which one of Finney or which one of the old time preachers, but they would preach and preach and bring salvation messages, but they would not let anybody come down to receive Jesus until they went through several days of teaching. They went and carried them into another room and taught them about repentance and the work of the cross and forgiveness and the works of those things. And then when they accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they knew what God was doing. They knew, and they were set free from all the junk. But so many times today, we're not taught those things. We just get people to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Their spirit's born again. Their spirit is renewed. But their mind, will, and emotions still got all the junk in it. That's the reason why we see people that even though they've come to the Lord, they've got a problem. And they've got to go through ministry. And back years and years ago, when they would take time to get people to understand what the work of the cross was, what repentance really meant, and what forgiveness really meant. In other words, when you're forgiven, in reality, everything's washed away. But you've got to repent. You've got to get all the junk out of you. Praise God. We must be committed to the process of transforming our souls, our mind, will, and emotion from the inside out. The reason why we always talk about Romans 12, 1 and 2, the renewing of our minds. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world. Praise God. You know, that's what's wrong with Christians today is we get conformed to the world. We just want to go along with whatever's happening instead of standing up and saying, God says this, and this is where I'm standing. Amen? I mean, we're all guilty sometimes of being so wishy-washy, we'll just go along with anything. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is your subconscious. You know, I did a teaching, and it's been a while back, but maybe we need to redo it again. A teaching on our subconscious. Our subconscious, what's back in our subconscious, will direct what we do. It'll direct what we do. We've got to get our subconscious cleaned out and saved, amen, by the renewing of our mind. Wanted to read Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verses 17 through 24.
This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of this mind, of their mind. I'm sorry. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feelings have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness.
So be renewed in the spirit of your mind. and put on the new self. Let the new man come out, in other words. Let the new man come out. In Luke, the 9th chapter, verse 23, Jesus said, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. The psyche, the soul, the mind, will, and emotion has to remain at the cross. Jesus said, take up your cross daily. In other words, put the old junk at the cross and leave it at the cross. Only through daily power of the cross do we perpetuate, receive the power of resurrection. In 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verses 10 and 11, Jesus went to the cross so we could go there. Our soul, his call to us is to join him in his crucifixion so that we may have life. We've got to take the things that are in our mind, will, and emotion, the old junk, take it to the cross and leave it and be crucified. Get rid of it right there. Amen? He took his life to the cross to make it possible for us to do the same thing. We're to follow him. He did it first so that we can do it. And this is the only way that to daily identify with the power of the resurrection. Basically, you lose, you win. That's the story of the Lord. Give up your life, the old life, and you get a new life. Do it God's way. Throughout his ministry, Jesus was setting up this cross-resurrection paradox. Go back and study the Beatitudes. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. So in other words, it was always going to the cross. In Matthew, the 20th chapter, in verse 16, it says, the last will be first and the first last. And in Luke 9, Jesus said, the least will be the greatest. Wow. The least will be the greatest. Praise God, there's hope for all of us. Amen. And in Matthew, the 10th chapter, verse 39, he said, who has found his life, those who have found his life will lose it. But he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. In other words, when we give up and we lose the old junk, the old way, for him, we find his life. We find him. And once we're born again, what's in our spirit can be trusted. This is something that we've got to learn the difference of what's in our spirit can be trusted. But so much of what's still in the soul, what's still in the old way that hasn't been renewed, our mind, will, and emotion hasn't been renewed, it can't be trusted. That's the reason why so many times people, we call it their fleshly or their soulishly. And those things can't be trusted because they haven't got their mind, will, and emotion renewed to the Word of God. Not renewed to the Word of God. The appetites of the flesh. Your body must also be controlled. Amen? We're talking about death to the exalted life force that came to us, to our soul, in the fall. This has got to remain at the cross. The only way we're going to get total freedom, total salvation, is at the cross. Then we can bring the functions of our mind, will, and emotion to the cross. The God-given ability to think, to reason, to store information, emit emotions, and choose right courses of action. We've got to know the Word of God. We've got to study the Word of God. We need to know it from the first page to the last page. You know, it's so important that we go and we study. And I like to go back and study the first 5 books of the Bible. The 10 Commandments. We need to learn to stand on the Ten Commandments. Amen? You know, Jesus, when he was here on the earth, walked here, he didn't do away with the word, the way he called it the law, but it was the word of God. He fulfilled it. He told the people what the word was really doing and how we could live through it. To follow Christ's example, every natural element of us must be influenced by the life that's in our spirit. We've got to learn, and it's a learning process to listen to our spirit, not our mind, not our will. In other words, when we say, I want to do this, I want to do that. Does that ever happen to anybody? We've got to say, what does God say? What does the word of God say? You know, you say, well, I don't hear God. Well, maybe you're not reading the Bible. He talks to you through this word, amen? And that's the reason why it's so important to read and study and meditate on the word. I mean, we talked about meditating. You know, it's like that cow that lays out underneath the tree and chews up her cud. In other words, we've got to read the word, and then we've got to digest it, and then we meditate, we think about it, and we let God bring it to us. When this is happening, we'll say no to our instinctive desires for self-promotion and vindication. How many times when we're wrong, we want to get vengeance. We want our way. But no. We've got to learn to be like Jesus. He was angry, but it was God-controlled anger. Amen. We can be angry, but we've got to be God-controlled anger. We've got to turn the other cheek. And we've got to have integrity in our spirits that will cause us to be truthful. Integrity in our spirit that will cause us to be truthful. So many times, we're not really truthful with people because we don't have enough integrity in our spirit. In 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, Paul was saying that power is perfected in weakness. Paul learned that recognizing and then acknowledging the inherent weakness of his soul and flesh reminded and forced him to rely on God's ability in his spirit. In other words, we've got to come to the place that we realize our weakness in our mind, will, and emotion, that we rely on him. We rely on what's in our spirit. Jesus understood that the moment new birth takes place, our life, our Zoe-filled spirit, wants to express itself. When we're born again, when we accept Jesus Christ, that spirit wants to express itself. It wants to get out. It wants to fly. It wants to commune with God the way it was originally made to serve, to be served by the soul and the body. But our spirit is stuck behind a still exalted soul bent on getting its own way. That's the only way we've got to get our mind renewed. We've got to get the spirit of our mind renewed. We've got to get our mind renewed with the way of God so that we can be spirit-led and not soulish-led. Sometimes I don't understand the way I do understand it, but I really don't like, maybe not the right word, but we've got to release the healing, rejuvenating spirit. It's got to go through the soul, the release valve. Our soul can shut the spirit down in just a matter of seconds. So much, we've got to have our mind renewed with the word of God. We've got to do that. Jesus understands this and does not condemn us as we go through the process of transformation. Praise God, He loves us. And when we make mistakes, He just says, come on, let's go, I love you. He puts His arms around us and lifts us up and say, let's go, let's get renewed. Let's get our minds renewed. He's patient and He walks with us. He walks with us and He talks with us. Praise God. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and you'll find rest for your soul. Take my ways. And when we place in a yoke, you know what a yoke is? Do y'all remember, do you know what the picture of a yoke, when a cow puts, or the ox puts a yoke on, it's a big thing, it pulls a plow, it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. When we place that uncomfortable yoke on our fallen soul, when we place it at the cross and recognize our Savior's Lordship, transformation begins. When we accept Jesus' way at the cross, not my way, but your way, Lord. Not my way, but your way, Lord. Have your way in my life, O Lord. We need that needs to be something that comes out of our mouth every morning when we wake up and every night when we go to sleep. Have your way in my life, Lord. Not my way, but yours, Lord. We're in a fight for our soul's redemption. And we'll either choose to defend the old man, the old way, or we'll fight to become spirit-guided beings. There's no middle ground. Like Philippians, the second chapter, verse 12, work out your own salvation. Work out your own salvation. That's not talking about being born again. That's getting the junk out of our souls, our mind, will, and emotion. That's what Paul was talking about. We need practical tactics of warfare against our soulish nature. We need a strategy to win. And with them, we can conquer our self-pleasing enemy. Next week, we're going to get into five essential tactics of gaining freedom. Are found in John the 8th chapter, verses 30 through 38. The five tactics that we're going to talk about is believe, abide in His word, know the truth, be free, and be free indeed. That's the way we're going to be free from our old self. The way we're going to get free and renewing of our mind. We're going to be spirit-led. Let the spirit, the reborn spirit, overcome all the junk that's in us. Amen. And be set free. Praise God. Father, we thank you and we magnify you. Lord, we just magnify you for that we are born again, that our spirit is renewed. And we have the Spirit of Christ that dwells within us. And we thank you, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that we are going to be renewed in our mind, renewed in our will, in our emotions. Lord, they're going to be controlled by you, by your word. And we just thank you and we magnify you. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you for the victory. We thank you for the victory. Let's say, thank you, Jesus. For the victory, I'm an overcomer in Jesus Christ. Because greater is He that dwells within me than he that's in the world. Amen. And I've put the devil under my feet. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Huh? Amen. I took back what he stole from me. Amen.